It's a new day.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
You've got a fresh start.
How handy of a lady named Pauline are you?
Not too.
You can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah, you're going
to
make it all 220?
Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
And what you don't know, maybe Luke can help.
I want you to pour a quarter cup of extra virgin olive oil over the top of the drink.
He's taking your call starting now. Lou Manfredini.
Now, the reason I use olive oil is because I'm Italian. Now, if you want to use vegetable oil, you can use that too.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Oh my gosh. I'm so fat. Hi, it's House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of House Smarts is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dandy Don Kleppen in the house. That's a nice sight to see. How are you, my friend?
So good, Lou. It's great to see you, too.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Delicious,
yeah,
fun, great,
really
great family time.
Joe Brand, how about you?
Same thing. Had a lot of good food, a lot of good times. It was fun.
That's nice. Ben is filling in this morning for Lindsay, who is off this weekend, and he's lining up some calls. We'll find out how his Thanksgiving was. I walked out of our bedroom on Friday morning, and I said to my wife, did you get the license plate number? And she said, what are you talking about? Of the truck that hit me, because that's how I felt after our Thanksgiving. We had a real nice time. It was just fantastic. And I tried something. I smoked two turkeys on the Traeger drill, on the Traeger grill. And I took the, this is what it's called. It's called spatchcocking a turkey.
What?
I know. I know. My wife says, stop saying that.
All the kids are doing
it these days.
And you actually cut the backbone of the turkey and you split it open, right? So like it's like, you know, like when a deer goes on the ice and the legs go out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Right? And so then you, so what you do is you increase the surface of the bird on the smoker and it make sure that everything cooks more evenly. It was spectacular. Like when it works out well, you know, using a smoker is always kind of this, the world of the unknown. I mean, unless you're a professional, which I'm not, but it was so good. I mean, so good.
Plus probably looks cool, like artistically.
Yeah. I'll send you a picture.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Done.
Once you're done spatchbocking the turkey,
right? Exactly. And then we got a big Wool Nelly college game in Ann Arbor in the big house, right?
I love how you were sporting your colors right after the sportscast.
Yep, I was yelling. I got the Michigan. I got my Michigan pullover on this morning. Our son Quinn and our money went to Michigan, so we are by de facto Michigan fans and Ohio State, which is probably the best football team in the country, right?
Yeah, they're ranked number two, but they're outscoring their opponents by pretty much 40 points.
Yeah,
on average.
And there's like some man child that they have with like white dreadlocks or something on their team, right? The guy's like amazing.
Yeah, I mean, well, their whole roster is stacked, and I mean, it's a lot of this is still all the recruiting from the previous head coach.
Yeah,
but Ryan Day's really running the show right now. Urban Meyer, well, you know, had it all, but
maybe the bus will get a flat tire.
There you go. That's optimistic thinking.
That's the Thanksgiving way right
there. Right,
right.
Oh, the bus, sorry, got a forfeit. We'll take it. Anyway, it should be a lot of fun. Nice to have both of you men here. And Ben, nice to have you here. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Ben? You were getting phone calls. I didn't want to interrupt you. Or did you have to work?
Oh, no, hold on a second. Try again.
All right.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
How are you? Nice to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Did you get a nice Thanksgiving?
I didn't. I was here for half of it.
Got it.
So I was producing Hampton OB for the Bears.
There you go. Were there giant turkey legs here that were flailing about or no?
No. No. OB was flailing about with some of the Bears play. But,
sure. Well, nice to have you here this morning. Thank you for coming in. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. And let's talk to Doug, who's in Bolingbrook. Doug, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
Good, good. How can I help you?
Hey, a couple of quick ones. I've been trying to get a hold of you for it seems like forever. And today was my lucky day, so just a couple of quick questions. for the end of the season, do you leave the grass long or cut it short for the last cut of the season?
Not super short, but shorter. And the key element now, what I've seen a lot in a lot of people's lawns is that, you know, the leaves are falling really late. And while a lot of people, you know, if they have landscaping services or whatever, are getting that fall cleanup, try not to leave a lot of leaves on there, because that's, you can get this thing called snow mold, which can occur when the leaves sit there and then kill the grass and then cause a huge problem in the winter. So go ahead and give it a cut. It's not going to, it's dormant already, but I don't want it super short. So whatever your normal length that you cut it is fine, but then pay attention, middle of December, you may need to go back out there with the leaf blower or the or a rake and get as many of the leaves off of there as you possibly can before we get hit with a lot of snow.
All righty.
Okay?
Awesome. And I have a bathtub in an upper level, and when you first start the shower, it's drained slowly, but after about 5 or 6 minutes of running with the warm water, it drains super free and clear.
Okay.
And I can't figure out why it's doing that.
How old is the house?
About 40 years, but I had the bathroom redone about 12 years ago.
And to the best of your knowledge, do you have cast iron pipe or galvanized pipe, copper pipe, or plastic pipe for drains?
I'm suspecting plastic.
Okay. My guess is you probably just have 40 years of buildup on the gunk inside those lines, and that is the reason that it warms up, is that it kind of loosens all that gunk up there to let the water go. So here's what I would do. The stopper that you have in the tub, is it removable so that you just have the drain opening?
Yep.
All right. Take that off. Then I want you to turn on the warm water again and warm up the drain, okay? So once it starts to flow, then shut it off. Then, well, prior to this, you're going to go to the hardware store and you're going to buy a drain opener called Insta Flow, I-N-S-T-A Flow, and it's these granules. And you're going to pour it over the top of the drain, like a little pile of it. And I want you to take boiling water in a pot, and I don't want your nose to be over the top of this thing, but you're going to pour the boiling water over the top of these chips, and it's going to dissolve. And once they all dissolve, let it sit in the drain for about 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Then turn the hot water on and rinse it. And that should break up all that gunk and allow it to free more flow more freely. And then possibly you may have to repeat it one more time, but I think this will probably solve your problem.
Awesome.
Right.
One last quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to find mouse magic. I looked at Meijer's, Walmart, and one other store. I can't even think of what it is.
Ace carries it. And if Ace doesn't have it in stock, they can bring it in for you. Mouse Magic is a product by Bonide, and most Ace stores carry it, and it really does work. I use it this time of year like crazy around the perimeter. We don't have a mouse issue in our home, and I think it's because I'm diligent about putting these packets around the perimeter, and it smells like a evergreen sort of smell. Minty, and mice and rats don't like it, and it really works. Mouse Magic by Bonide. Doug, thanks so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's 7:20 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Got a question about your house?
I have linoleum tile in the kitchen where I used to have a big metal box on. Finally got rid of the big metal box, and I have a beautiful stain.
Now's the time to call Lou.
I'm going to be honest with you. You're not going to get that up.
Yeah, he might not always give you the answer you want to hear. That truth can hurt, but he'll at least point you in the right direction.
The colors aren't going to match perfectly, but it's going to look a lot better than that brown stain.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Why men great till they got to be great?
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. When you call in and you hear that man's deep voice, that's not Lindsay with a cold, it's Ben. So say hi to Ben. This is Rita in Chicago. Hey, Rita, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. I'm in this house 40 years, and it's a caloric wall oven. Caloric. It's quite old. It will not heat above 200 degrees, and Christmas is coming, and I'm having Christmas.
All right.
Anyway, is there someplace I can call for a small service, like a small appliance repair, or is it worth it? Should I just try and go out and get a new one? I know it's not going to get here if I have to buy a new one before Christmas.
Oh, that's not, no. That's not true. You can get a new oven next week.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
I tried. It's a wall oven, and it has to be pulled up and a new one installed. So I was thinking maybe looking for somebody that could come in and just check it. Maybe it's just the heating part, the heating element.
Yeah, my guess is, you know, you got a either a small burner or issue, or there's a problem with the thermostat.
Yeah.
There's plenty. Where are you, in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago, right off of, I don't know if you know, Pulaski Road.
Oh, yeah.
4700 South, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, you got a couple ways to go here. I'm going to put you on hold just because I got a little echo. There's a couple ways to go here. You can, I have done business for the past 30 years with homes that I built and rental property that I own with Apt Appliance, and they do very good service. And they can come out and probably service that caloric for you and get out there. What they typically do is they will come out. You'll pay a service fee for them to come out. They'll inspect what's going on. If they have to order a part, which more than likely they will order the part, and then they'll come back and pop it in. Now, that should all be able to happen before Christmas. Now, they may come and tell you, hey, lady, you know, it's this, and it may not be worth it. And they may be able to get you a wall oven before that. I think that that's perfectly feasible to do that, but I would start by calling Apt Appliance and service and have them come out and perform. You when you call them, they're going to want the model number and the serial number off of there. There should be a tag somewhere that you can find there to help them out. Rita, thanks so much for the phone call. This is Bill, who's in Lake Zurich. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I wanted to ask a quick question. My parents are going to be leaving for the first time for a couple of months this winter.
Nice.
And because it was so cold last year, and they're on a well and septic, should we turn off the water?
Yeah, absolutely. I would shut off the water line and the pump switch as well. Now, the only, you know, you should have an area to shut off the pump itself, shut the water off, and then what are you going to do about the heat? Who's going to monitor all that?
Well, we're going to probably going to turn it down to, like, 62, and then we're going to have some, I'll go over there occasionally, they're about an hour away, occasionally, just but to keep the heat around 62 for the whole time.
Do your parents have Wi-Fi in the house?
Yes.
Are they going to leave that on while they're away?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to? You have a couple choices. You could put in a Wi-Fi thermostat.
Have a Nest.
You have it.
Yes, they have a Nest.
Okay. So then you ask them to get access to the Nest, because then you can go into the app and find out what the temperature in the house is.
Okay.
Right. So on those really, really cold days, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's whatever, 20 below zero. You can go call up the app and like, oh, the house is 62 degrees, you know, or whatever it is. And that way you have access to it as well. But I would definitely shut the water off, keep track of the heat. And then, you know, if they're going to be gone a couple months, you know, I'd go over there at least every couple weeks just to kind of keep an eye on everything.
Okay. But you just said to also turn the pump switch off.
Right. There's a pump switch and a valve. I don't want the pump cycling if the water's off.
Got it.
Right?
I understand.
All right. Well, tell your parents to have a great trip. Hopefully they're going someplace warm, and when they come back, you'll be a good son keeping track of everything for them. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is, is it Karen?
Yes, it is, Lou.
Hi, Karen. You're on WGN. Good morning.
How much turkey do you have left over? Because we're coming over for sandwiches.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we cooked five birds. And
the
fifth bird, when we were done, we did that purposely because if we only do four, there's no leftovers for everybody. And so then the fifth bird is for everybody to take their Ziploc bags home. And they were like, you would have thought these people had never eaten before they took so much turkey with them, which is fine. It was great. It was great.
Well, I have a question about my garage door. I have a master lift garage door opener.
Okay.
And I had some rust on the rail that the garage door opens on. And so I cleaned it and took care of it, oiled it and whatever. But now when I try and open the garage door, because this took me a couple weekends to do, it kind of jumps about maybe, it'll open 4 inches and it won't go further. And I have to press it like maybe 3 or 4 times for then finally it to engage to fully open. And I'm guessing the timing of the lift is off.
Well, okay, couple things. One is you should never be oiling the rail, okay? The rail itself should never be oiled. The pins and the rollers you can oil, but if you oil the rail, that traps dirt. Now, what I would test is with the door closed, I would release the emergency release from the opener.
Yep. Okay, and I did that already.
And then you should be able to manually open that door up and down freely. Now, if it goes up and down freely and nothing jumps or binds there, and I want you to grab the door when you do this right in the middle, because that's where the opener's grabbing it.
Right.
I mean, it could be that a pin is out of whack or the rail needs to be adjusted, or it could be a problem with the spring overhead, the torsion spring, if that's what you have. But if all of a sudden you go to lift that up and you're like, ooh, this is stuck, well, then it's some rail issue you need to adjust. If you all of a sudden can go up and down freely, then there could be something with the track, or if there's a, you know, if your opener has a belt. Do you know if it has a belt or a chain?
It's a chain.
Okay, there could be a kink in the chain or something where it's hooking, and that's where the jump is. It's got a dead spot in there, and maybe the chain needs to be replaced. Those are two items that you can check, and if that, you know, if all of a sudden you can't figure out how to do that, then you need to get somebody out there to fix it.
Okay, and maybe I used the wrong terminology. There was a spray that I bought from, you know, the Home Depot for the garage door rail, and I don't know if it's oil or whatever, but it was some kind of lubricant so that the rust wouldn't come back.
Mm-hmm. But the inside of the rail, like if you put the part that the rollers are in, that should never be oiled, ever.
Okay, because that's where some of the rust was in there, because the rollers...
Well, you can clean it. That's fine. You could take a little sandpaper and sand it. That's fine. But it should never be oiled because that will trap dirt and actually cause more problems. Karen, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time here. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a leak in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Joe Branda, I think you mentioned to me that you eat twice, right, for Thanksgiving? You've already done the, even though you're not married yet, you've done the two-family Thanksgiving thing because you and your girlfriend, fiancé, have been dating for like 25 years. Is that right?
Cut it in half to about 12, but yes.
He's not afraid of commitment, Don. He just wants to make sure that's what it is.
For sure. Right. Understandable.
Right. And so did you prepare, do you two prepare anything? Do you bring anything?
Yeah, we did actually. So we did an appetizer for the first party.
Mm, and then was it?
It was a very good cheese tray from Trader Joe's. Some of the best cheese I've ever had. And then we got an apple pie from Trader Joe's as well, and that was dessert for the following party.
Old cousin TJ.
Yeah, right. We have a few people that we just know are, you know, not necessarily going to make anything. We're like, can you bring rolls and beer? Okay, rolls and beer, right? That's not bad.
Well, what's funny is we were a little late to the second party because the first party,
was just rocking.
They forgot to put the stuffing in on time.
Ooh.
So that was delayed a little bit. And then we go to the second house and they go, oh, don't worry. We started dinner late because they forgot to put the stuffing in.
Oh.
Both parties forgot to put the stuffing in at the same time.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is.
You know, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. There's a lot going on and most people do not cook like that. So,
but I think you're right because a lot of people who host Thanksgiving just want to do it all on their own. That way they're in control of everything and you're not relying on somebody coming in with the green bean casserole if they might be a little late.
Yeah.
Just mess with the palate of everything.
Right, right. That's good. Well, that's nice to know.
And when in doubt, go to Trader Joe's.
Right. You know that Trader Joe's? Can I just tell you something? I'm not a Trader Joe's guy, and every now and then I'll go to a Trader Joe's, and it's a cool little store. Like, it's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And you really could, it kind of has that European feel because, I mean, it really does have everything you need, right? And
right.
You don't need the giant store. And your generation, it seems like, is kind of full of people like you.
It is, but I mean, they've got a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's not just dip, it's smoked salmon dip, and it's
right.
Everything is very unique.
Or what I am into, because I went to my doctor, and whatever, you know, when I was losing all this weight and doing whatever, he said, you know, there's this one number, whatever number you need, and it's way better now that you've lost all this weight, and just keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, eat a little dark chocolate. That's really good for you. And I go, dark chocolate? They have coconut almond dark chocolate whatever deliciousness.
Yeah. That's funny. I was just gonna say I had some dark chocolate covered almonds.
It is
from there.
Lights out. And you know I'm doing it for my health,
of course.
312.
Yeah, that's a great doctor recommendation right there.
Right, you didn't say like more bourbon. I got that on my own. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Joe in Arlington Heights. Hey Joe, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my question. I got two questions. Could you give me a heads up on interior doors I've had for 50 years? They're kind of, you know, stained, and the hardware is tarnished, and I'd like to get something more attractive for the update. Also, the window on the oven door, how do you clean it? It seems like there's a million screws to take out before you get access to it.
Okay, wait, hold on. Now, the interior doors, you want to replace the hardware or you want to replace the doors and the hardware?
Doors with panels or something like that. I want something with an oak finish rather than a plain fiber. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one of the places that I think you could go and you'd see a pretty good selection and you would get a really good price is you hear me talking about this Builder Supply Outlet, which is in Broadview, and they've got a lot of interior door choices. How many doors are we talking about?
Seven.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good place to start your search. You know, I think that if you went there, it's not too far from you, and it'd be worth it, and I think you'd be surprised how affordable it is, and they even have a service where they can pre-hang them for you. They've got a door shop where they can put the frames on and everything to be ready to go for you, which would be a good one. And then your oven door issue, you want to try and get to the glass?
Yes, that's right.
There's 1,000 screws to get to the glass.
Right. The plates has to come off the frame.
More than likely, you have to take the cover off, so the finished part that you see on the outside, there's probably screws around the perimeter. All depends on the oven type. Because then when you access that, the handle has to come off, the front pad comes off, there's screws hidden underneath there to get the glass off. Now, why is it that you're getting the glass off?
I want to clean it. It's blurred. It's
right, but you can't get at the glass on both sides without that, or is it in between the glass?
It's in between the glass. Okay. Like,
that might not be. How old is the oven that you have there, Joe?
About 10 years old.
I mean, that glass is probably sealed.
Oh, okay.
It's two pieces of glass, but I don't think you'll have access to it. Now, if the seal is broken, then what you may want to do is replace that glass. Like, if you get the model number and the serial number, are you online at all? Can you use this kind of, can you get online at all?
I think so.
All right, so there's a terrific, there's a company, local company here in Chicago called Automatic Appliance, and they have a website as well, Automatic Appliance. You could actually go to one of their stores if you wanted to.
There might be even one out by you in Arlington Heights, to come to think of it. But if you give them the model number and the serial number, they can tell you that that glass is available. And they even have, I think, videos and cut sheets to show you how it all comes apart.
That's automatic appliances.
Automatic appliance, singular.
The model number.
Model number, serial number. This is what I got. How much is the glass? Where do I get it? How do I take it out? Because if you can't get the glass clean, that seal is broken, and I don't think you're gonna get it.
Okay, I'll try it. Thank you so much for taking my call.
I appreciate you calling as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. My name's Lou Manfredini. This is House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon.
You know, like many of you, I read that now Dave Plyer is going to be hosting a show on Sundays where it's like all Sinatra all the time. Do you think that they got that idea from me playing this rejoin?
Probably.
Right? I think I'm taking credit for that.
I think they want you to help out, too. You're free Sunday mornings, right?
Got nothing else to do. I went last Sunday with my friend Mike Jakubowski and Jim Webster. I went duck hunting. And they have this blind in this field, and they said, oh, we're going to, they normally go on Saturdays. So they listen to the show when they're heading out there, which is nice. And they always invite me, but I can never go on a Saturday because I'm here. Come on out on a Sunday. Great. And Mike lives out way out there in Pingree Grove. And he goes, be at my house at 5:15. I don't like getting up early on a Sunday, Joe. But I did. I had a great time.
Didn't you wake up earlier than the ducks that day?
I did, and it was cold. I was so cold. I was so cold. It was unbelievable, but it was so much fun. All right, our phone number is 312-981-7200. Now, this Noodaloo 2, I was not sold on this idea until I heard what Lindsay recorded, and then I came up with a whole new reason why every one of us should have one of these in your pocket. Take a listen.
Let's see, there's no delicate way to put this. When you share a home with other people, maintaining the quality of the bathroom atmosphere is an ongoing consideration.
Ow!
Yeah, you can light a match or spray some room freshener, but when you're looking for a solution that's discreet and long-lasting, you're going to want to hear our new Tulu 2. Potty Mints. Potty Mints is a toilet freshener tablet box set that is an elegant solution for bathroom odors. Just drop a tablet in the toilet after flushing to release a clean, fresh aroma that'll last up to 3 more flushes. One box contains 22 individually wrapped potty mints that are about the size of a Necco wafer, is what I'm going with. You can display the box in your powder room or your guest bathroom. Free to use as needed, or shove a couple of these things in your purse or your bag to use in emergency situations when you're on the go. They're septic tank safe, including RVs and boats, non-toxic and pet-friendly, and made in the USA. So the holidays are coming. Maybe you're having a bunch of people over and it's a small house, if you know what I mean. Maybe you'll be a guest at someone's home. Might save your guests or even you that awkward exit from the loo.
Do not go in there.
Or it just might be good for a giggle as maybe a hosting gift, because nothing says thanks for having us like Potty Mints.
Woo!
Each box goes for $19.95. Check them out on PottyMints.com. That's this week's new Toulouse 2.
Okay, so it's like a Necco wafer you drop in the toilet after you do your business, and so it smells nice. Here's what I'm thinking, Joe. If you are someone that suffers from IBS, you know what IBS is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Right. You need to have these in your pocket. You know, because you got a health issue,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to parties and stuff like that, and you go into someone's bathroom, and maybe you just don't want to, you know, be like, I'm sorry. Right? I mean, it's a natural thing. And you just drop one of these in the toilet when you're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
You leave a little something there before you leave, and then you go away. And you leave it in there, and it makes the bathroom smell fresh.
Just because I know what irritable bowel syndrome is doesn't mean that everybody needs to know if you have it. right?
There you go. Exactly. See, that's a Joe, you're like, you just got hired as the marketing thing for the marketing guy for potty melts.
Potty melts. Know what IBS is, but don't let other people know you have it.
Exactly. Very nice. Pottymints.com is the website. And it's a fun, cute idea. And it would make a great holiday gift instead of a bottle of wine. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Paula in Downers Grove. Hey, Paula, it's. You're on the radio. You're on WGN.
Yeah.
Hi.
Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Oh, thank you. You too. You too.
As well as all these house hints. So here's my dilemma. I know I should have done this a long time ago, but earlier this year, but I have aluminum siding on my house. In the wind this week, a couple of probably 18-inch wide panels from the bottom of my chimney where it meets the
crown
lodge roof have come off, but really the whole house really needs new vinyl siding. So is it too late in the season to get my house sided?
Not at all.
Can you recommend somebody?
Yeah, not at all. And I think that if you're talking about siding the whole home, that's an area where it's really never too cold to do that. You can do that in the middle of winter. They're a little more careful with the panels as they're putting them up, but you probably have a better chance of getting it done as we enter winter, because people will typically wait until the spring to get all this done. You hear me talk about the folks at Cobblestone Development?
Yeah.
That would be a company that I would contact for siding. 773 661-0606.
Okay.
CobblestoneDevelopment.com, and then you could call them, tell them, you know, a little bit about the house, maybe send them a couple pictures, and then, you know, while they're in the city, I think to do a whole house siding issue like that, they move around all over the place. They're not, you know, they're not barbers, so the work they don't wait for the work to come to them. They go to the work.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Have a terrific rest of your day. Let's talk to Randy. Randy, why am I even talking to you? Where are you calling from?
Key West, Florida.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's sunny and 70 today.
Do you live down there in the winter, or what do you do?
I have a rental property and I go back and forth.
I love Key West, Florida. And I just think it's great.
It's paradise. I'm so happy that we bought this second home and the rental, and everything's working out really well.
So what do you do when you go down? Do you drive all the way, or do you, like, fly to Miami? What do you do?
I've done both, and they have direct flights in the winter to Key West. It's a three-hour flight. It's awesome.
From Chicago?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, American. I love it. It's like Pewaukee Airport when you get off. And as soon as you step off you get out and walk across the tarmac, you'll go out the airport door and there's roosters everywhere.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. All right, well, how can I help you?
Well, okay, so I have a house that's built on cinder blocks frame, and underneath it's open air dirt. And termites is a big issue down there. I had a termite inspection, and you have to get it treated, no problem there. But someone recommended me, a contractor, that you should put plastic underneath it. And I thought, he goes, that would keep the moisture down and the bugs out. So I didn't know how I felt about that, because if the moisture, because, you know, it does rain, rainy season, would go on that plastic, would just sit there as well. And didn't know what to
think
about.
So, I mean, okay, so the thing is, down there, I would imagine the soil is mostly sand, right? We're talking about the house in Key West, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it mostly sand?
I'd say it's more dirt. You know, they call it the rock because it's all lava rock, Key West.
Got it.
It's not very deep, so it's not very sandy. Actually, the beaches in Key West aren't that great, like Naples or wherever, but it's more rock. So.
Okay. A couple ways to go. The plastic will help to keep the moisture out. The water, when you talk about water, if you get groundwater coming up, you know, if it's done properly, the water will stay below. One of the things you hear me talk about up here is crawl space encapsulation, which I have to imagine you would probably have someone down there that does that as well. Now, that is a little more involved, but what they do, it's basically like a pool liner, and they seal all the joints, and they envelop the entire crawl. They come up the sides, and so everything gets trapped below the layer of this pool liner, which is more durable than plastic. And it also helps, you know, they'll do the underside of the floor as well. So any of that damp air doesn't permeate up into the living space. That encapsulation is probably a better use of your money than just the plastic. And that would be something that if you searched out a contractor that does that work down there, I'd get an estimate to do that.
Yeah, the contractors are very hard to get and deal with down there. They're not of the best quality. So,
would you be the guy that would be putting the plastic down?
Probably. Well, I could put I could put rolls of sheets of plastic underneath. That wouldn't be too hard.
If you were going to do that, then you need to overlap it, and you need to come up the sides of the foundation a little bit and terminate it on the underside of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, when you say the floor, are you talking about the ground?
Well, you said as a crawl, right? And you've got the wood floor over the top, the frame floor?
I don't know if it's there. No, it's not a crawl. No, I'd be sorry about that. It's raised about 3 feet on cinder blocks, the building, and it's ground level.
Right, but it's raised, and you can crawl underneath there.
Correct.
And if you're lying on your back, what are you looking at?
The bottom floor of the first
floor. Yeah, that's what I mean. So you need to come up that raised part of the foundation wall as well, just to try and encapsulate the odor and keep the moisture down, and that would probably make the most sense. Appreciate the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time.
Say my name.
So I have a cousin. She's married to George McDowell. Anyone? Google? There's
Googling furiously.
George McDowell. You're still not there?
Google's got nothing for me.
Say my name.
He was the winning pitcher for the New York Mets in the 1986 World Series. He also was the pitching coach for the Atlanta Braves.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Say my name.
Come on. I can Google it right here. Come on. Here, look. My gosh. Oh, no, it's not George. It's Roger.
Thank you.
Say my name.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, definitely not getting invited to Thanksgiving this year. Now back to Moo Lanfordini on House Smarts Radio.
Say my name of the day. I will call.
They were invited, but they didn't come.
Baby, how's your day?
Maybe they didn't realize who it was addressed to.
This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by AmericasBath.com, PermaSeal Basement Systems, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. How about those Bears?
Getting a win on Turkey Day.
Woohoo! It just, you know what's so sad about it? I mean, okay, a win's a win. But you just don't come away with it being like, oh my gosh, look at him. Look at him go.
No, and you shouldn't against a third string quarterback. I mean,
I'm going to throw a little something out there. I don't know the first thing about football, but I'm going to tell you something. When I think about that Mitch Trubisky and what he did last year, that kid works better on the move.
I agree with you there.
When that last year, when you look about one of the things that everybody talked about last year, not that I'm going to be on with Sunday mornings with OB and him, but he was like, oh, the kid extends the play like Aaron Rodgers, right? Who is, I mean, I'm not comparing the two, but I don't like the Packers, but I just love watching Aaron Rodgers. That guy sits, he never gets rattled, and the guy knows how to extend the play. And then he makes a smart decision and like gets a touchdown or whatever it is, or a completion. When Mitch Trubisky is out of the pocket and he uses his athleticism, which he's an athletic guy, right? He does a better job. When he's in the pocket, the poor kid makes bad choices.
I think so, too. And I think that's what was so promising about last year is you've got this young athletic quarterback that is still figuring things out, but the base is there to where he scrambles out of the pocket and he can create first downs. But now when he finds that pressure, he throws from his back foot, he makes terrible decision making, he just kind of freaks out, and that's not a good base for your quarterback.
Don,
in his third year.
Don, can you get Virginia McCaskey's phone number? Tell her that Joe Brand and I and you And we'll bring Ben along, too. Ben's a sports guy, too. We will fix all these problems.
Oh, yeah. I'm texting her right now. VG.
Because you have her. Totally. She's in your five.
Yeah. She loves to text.
Yeah, she's so quick. That those three dots are, like, permanently there.
All right. Well, if they need any help, they can call. 312-981-7200 is the number you call if you need some help. Let's see what we can do here this morning. This is Russell in Cary. Russell, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a cottage in northern Wisconsin.
Nice.
Two questions. I have a concrete shower tray that is really grungy looking. Is there a plastic liner that can go in there? And how do I seal it around the drain and the top of the concrete shower tray?
There are systems out there that you can put over. Now, it's typically not the... In other words, if you have a concrete tray and you know how it comes up on the side like a curb?
Correct.
You cut this... You buy it in the size that you have, and it fits on the bottom portion of it. So you would clean it all up. You would take the drain assembly off. You'd glue this down, and then you'd caulk the perimeter, and then you would seal over the drain. But I have a better suggestion before you do this. Now, you say it's grungy looking, but is it sound?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It was painted years and years ago, and that's peeling up, and there is mold.
Yes. Okay, let's do this. Let's get some paint stripper on there and strip up that paint. Okay? So, I mean, you could use something mild like a citrus strip, or you could use... Actually, you know what I want you to use? Have you heard me talk about this paint stripper called Dumond?
No.
Okay, Dumond is a paint stripper that looks like hand cream. You could stick your hand in this, Russell, and it wouldn't burn your hands. But if you put this over the top of the paint, they are currently using this product to take the paint off the Eiffel Tower. Bonjour.
Would this be harmful? We're on a septic.
No. Put this on. Get all the paint off of there. Then, when you're going to buy the Dumond, and you can get it at most Ace stores, maybe even up there. Where are you, up by Eagle River?
Eagle River. We have an Ace store, good one.
All right, so call them and say, hey, Jimmy. Is the guy's name Jimmy?
Offhand, I don't know.
I'm just making that up. Jimmy, get me some of that Dumond paint stripper, and he's going to say, we don't carry it. Tell him it's in their La Crosse warehouse. You tell them that like you know what you're talking about. They're going to bring it in. You're going to put this down there. You're also going to buy something called a drill brush. And it's a stiff nylon brush you're going to put on the end of your cordless drill. So after you scrape all this paint off, then you're going to take a cleaner when you're also there called either Kaboom or Challenger. Okay? You're going to spray that on there. You're going to clean that concrete up. We're not going to paint this again. We're just going to leave it like the concrete. And you're going to scrub the you-know-what out of it. The mildew and mold is gone. You're not doing any acrylic liner, and you'll be happy.
Okay. Okay. Dumond paint stripper. What was the second product?
Dumond paint stripper.
Right.
You're going to apply that. You're going to scrape it. You can even use a wire brush on the end of the cordless drill, but then you're going to get something called a drill brush that is a stiff nylon brush that goes on the end of your cordless drill, and you're going to use that to scrub the concrete base now with the paint off of it, and you're going to use a cleaner either called Kaboom with a K.
K-A-F-U-M?
K-A-B-O-O-M. Kaboom.
Kaboom, okay.
Yeah, or another product called Challenger.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
You got it?
Challenger. Are those all of those safe to go down the septic drain? That's my concern.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Send me a picture when you're done. I want to see how nice the shower looks. Not with you in it. I don't want to look at you inside the shower.
Thank you.
Russell, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk real quick to Gary, who's in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I bought those gutter and roof heaters for the winter. Put on the roof.
Yep.
But the problem is I'm putting it on top of a sunroom, and I don't have shingles to attach the clips to. Any idea how I can put the cable and keep it up there?
Do you have like aluminum frame or something like that?
Nothing up there at all.
Well, you said it's a sun. It's like a
aluminum or vinyl roof.
Aluminum or vinyl roof. Okay.
And
3M makes an exterior hook that, you know, with their command strips.
Okay.
That should work. It's a little difficult when it's really cold. So okay. When we're in the 40s, maybe try it and see if that works.
Is it like a glue? Or,
No. It's like a little double-sided hook. And then they make these hooks that have a metal hook on them. So it's a plastic. It's like a command. Have you ever used a command strip indoors?
No.
Uh-uh. Okay. Command strips are these. It's like a two-sided, double-sided tape. And you can put it on a wall and it won't mark it up. Then you can remove it. Well, they make an exterior version. But they also make a hook where the base is plastic, but the hook is metal.
Okay, so I can glue it to the sunroom roof.
Well, you stick it. You don't glue it. You stick it, and then you correct.
Oh, okay. Is there, like, Ace Hardware?
Yes, sir. Yep, they should have it. And just make sure that it's above freezing when you're putting it in there, and that should work. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. All right, let's talk customized doors. I know the term custom can evoke costly thoughts, but it doesn't have to at Builder Supply Outlet. It just means getting exactly what you want when you want it. With an on-site mill shop, Tom's team can customize any in-stock door to your exact specs in a week. Other places can take 6 to 8 weeks, assuming they even get it right the first time. There's enough headaches when remodeling. Don't stress, your custom doors won't come in on time. Another reason to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hub Smarts Radio.
I cracked myself up. Welcome back. Joe Brand just shakes his head. I've turned into the old dad guy, right? I do the dad jokes. I was doing dad jokes at Thanksgiving.
Any of Steve Alexander's?
Of course, right. And the kids just shake their head. They're like, okay, can I leave now? I go, you can leave now.
Someone does have to do those, though.
Right? You got to do them, right? Needs to be right? Done. And all the old people sit around. And last night we went with a bunch of friends to, have you ever been to Punch Bowl something?
Punch Social? Bowl? Social.
Yeah, Punch Bowl Social. Yeah, right? Not. So there's one in Schaumburg, and we have a group of friends. We get together with him. We meet with the kids and everything. Thanksgiving is very nice. And, you know, the food's nice. It's a nice atmosphere, and they've got a lot of draft beer. Mrs. Manfredini, by the way, loves a good draft beer. Loves a good draft beer. And I was looking at something. You know, I was like, I like a good draft beer, too. But they have a section called Old Man Cans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an old man, and I like Pabst Blue Ribbon. And although Coors Light does not seem like an old man can.
No. Yeah.
They had Coors, they had Pabst Blue Ribbon, and what was the other one?
Old Style?
Old Style? They had Old Style. Yeah. Did you see that there's a Christmas 99 pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yes.
It's like a giant, it looks like a guitar case without the guitar, and it's 99 cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Joe?
That's because...
If you're thinking about a gift... I mean, just, you know.
All right.
You and Don want to pitch in.
Perfect. We could do the wizard staff after we drink them all. Just, you know, duct tape them all together.
Old man can. And I'm perfectly fine with being an old man and having a can of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
99 of them?
Well, not in a row, but...
It's the holidays.
Just don't drive. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Scott in Buffalo Grove. Scott, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. Happy holidays, Lou.
You too.
Two quick questions. Had the bathroom redone with glass sliding doors. The track on the bottom is a 3-inch piece of plastic. Is there any way to seal that so that it doesn't move?
It's a plastic bottom?
Yeah, it's a plastic runner. You know, the glass doors hang
Right.
On the big rollers.
Right. And so the doors just hang. And so this is just a guide. And it is mounted on top of a tub or a shower base?
On a shower base.
Okay. And you.
And so it moves so the doors can swing at times. And that gets me a little dangerous.
What do you mean it moves?
Well, the glass, the guide is not stuck down.
Why not?
Why? I don't know.
It should be stuck down.
So that's why I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, no. Did you just have this done?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Okay, have them come back. Whomever put that on there, that track should be, it typically gets caulked in place.
Okay.
And so it should not move at all. And then it should be, so it, the bottom of it should have a caulking, like a silicone, and then the two side edges should be caulked as well. It's just not installed properly.
Will do. The other quick question is the stationary doors on my patio, on the patio sliding doors.
Okay.
I think the seal is obviously broken. They are filthy on the inside.
You can't get the, in between the glass.
In between the glass.
Okay. And do the doors operate properly, the operating side?
Yeah, the operating side, yeah, they're fine.
Okay. There's several companies in the Chicagoland area. I have no connection to any of them, so I can't recommend them. But if you Google, like, removing fog from glass, these companies, there's several of them, will come out, and they drill a hole in the side of it, and they put a vacuum in there, and they clean it out, and they reseal the windows. And what I have seen on average for, like, a double-hung window, it's about $90. Could be a little bit more for a sliding glass door, but you don't have to do anything. In other words, you're not replacing anything. And I believe they give you a guarantee of maybe 12 months. But I have heard from people that have had this done by different companies, and they've been very happy with the results.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, I got a situation I'm going to try to explain as good as I can. I live in a building where the heating system, it's not a radiator. It's literally in the floor. I don't know what the technical term for that is.
Radiant floor heat?
I guess that's what it is. But here's the situation. On top, the flooring is this, like, I guess it's linoleum lanolit tile. It's the fake-looking wood. It's not really wood, but it looks like it.
Okay.
And I have this theory that the heating system is literally cooking the flooring and sending toxic compounds into the air. Is that possible in making people sick?
How old is the floor?
I think the flooring was installed in the past 2 or 3 years. It looks pretty new.
Yeah, I doubt that. I mean, if it was an older, floor, like pre-1975, where there was some potential for asbestos in there, then your theory may be, have some validity to it. But with modern, flooring, I mean, again, not knowing what the floor is, but if something is a couple years old, most of the stuff sold here is pretty safe, and it's regulated. I mean, it's not, remember that. The in-floor radiant heat, the temperature of that water going through those pipes is probably about 140 degrees, maybe 160. And so it's warm, yes, but I highly doubt that there's any off-gassing at this point that is occurring. Now, there are air quality test systems that you can use to test that.
Where can I, like, a VO2 indicator or something like that?
Well, there's a couple of, products you can buy. One of the companies is called Pro Labs, and they make an air quality tester, and it does test for volatile organic chemicals, for VOCs. And basically what it is, it's a vial that you're going to put out there, and it's going to absorb, you're going to leave it there for 48 hours. You put the test only costs $10, but then you put it in an envelope, you seal it, and you send it off to a lab which costs about another $30, but then they'll send you back an analysis of what's going on. And so if you go to the hardware store and look for a ProLabs kit, you'll find it. It's funny you're talking about flooring, because when we come back after this break, I'm going to talk with Tom Hume, who is the vice president for marketing of a company called Cali Bamboo, about their flooring that they make, and it might be a good choice for you. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Hey, you can't do everything. Sometimes you need a little help. That's where Lou comes in, and he's taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Joining me on the phone line right now is Tom Hume, who is the VP of Marketing for a company called Cali Bamboo. Tom, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Your company has kind of an interesting beginning, because who you guys are today is not who you were when you started.
That's very true.
Yeah. Give me a little history lesson about your company, Cali Bamboo.
Sure. It actually started with two college buddies, Jeff Goldberg and Tanner Hagwood, and they had set off on a year-long surf trip, actually, to find good waves and good times, and one of the things they were doing is they ended up in Hawaii. They were doing odd jobs, construction work, and Jeff, who self-admittedly is not very good with a hammer, he was put out to do agriculture and a lot of cutting of bamboo. And at that point, he had an epiphany of, you know, boy, bamboo is obviously so strong, and it's also so sustainable, because it grows, it's one of the fastest growing plants, it puts off the most oxygen, and even the way you harvest it, it's not a clear cutting type of thing. You kind of prune it, so it doesn't even affect the environment for the animals as far as that are in that area.
Right.
So he really thought, how could he bring bamboo into sort of more building products? And so started the company with rolled bamboo fencing originally, and then expanded there very quickly into bamboo flooring, which, again, taking all those features of bamboo being so strong, the way the process is done, that the bamboo is shredded, that it's pressed very tightly, and it makes the whole world's hardest floors. And so started the business of Cali Bamboo and bamboo flooring. And then since then, we've gone well beyond bamboo. Now we're into luxury vinyl planks, and we're also into some beautiful European oaks. But everything we do, we call it green to the core. Everything we do has to have a stick to our mission. And so even our European oaks, they use a thin veneer of the beauty side of the oak, and then it's on seven layers of a very sustainable wood, like acacia or poplar or eucalyptus. So, and we just try and approach that with every single product that we come up with. How can we do this a little greener than the next guy?
Right, right. Well, and before we go on to the luxury vinyl, because that's one of the hotbeds right now, you guys were sort of, it sounds like, at the infancy of the bamboo movement, right? Bamboo became super popular, and then all of a sudden, there was a bunch of garbage product out there that was almost giving bamboo a bad name. Here it was, you had a couple of really good manufacturers and suppliers of the products, and then, you know, everybody and their mother, a lot coming overseas, was making garbage, and then people were like, oh, I don't want that bamboo, I had all kinds of problems. You saw that and maintained your quality of the product.
Yeah, we did. And from the beginning, it's always been, you know, paramount for us to have quality inspectors at every step of the way. But yeah, about 10 years ago, there was a lot of bamboo flooding the market, bad bamboo flooding the market. Ours always had a quality standard. But it did. It almost brought down the whole market, almost turned off a whole group of people to bamboo. But you know, those bad products, you know, in a good capitalist market, those bad products went away very quickly.
Right, right.
And they say if you wanted to, you know, give yourself bad PR, put out a bad product.
And, yeah, it happens pretty. And that's what it happens pretty quickly. So now we have the movement, the big movement right now in luxury vinyl tile, and it's kind of the next adoration of what was the laminate flooring, and everything that laminate flooring couldn't do, luxury vinyl. You know, it became this really good product, and you guys have, you talked about your process of how you bring the products to market and how you want to do them a little bit differently, but this product that you have now in this luxury vinyl line is really some good-looking stuff and easy to install.
It's very easy to install, and that's why it's, I think, grown in popularity. Plus, it's very durable. It's waterproof, and the looks are getting so good. It's amazing. Some of our best vinyl we put next to our hardwood, and you almost can't tell the difference.
You can't.
And just stands up to everything from pets to high heels to now any kind of foot traffic you're going to put across it. It's a huge growth area for us. And in fact, this week we have literally just launched Cali Vinyl Longboard. So a little nod to our origins in the California area, longboards being a longer surfboard. And so we have a whole even display that looks like a surfboard, and we kind of, it's, these planks are over 70 inches long and over 9 inches wide. So the beauty of that is for bigger spaces, it really fills the space beautifully. And that's a design trend to go longer and wider anyways.
Right.
And actually it even saves time in installation because you're putting down bigger planks and along the way.
Right. I mean, I know we're doing this as a radio interview, but I've spent some time on your website and a little bit of some of the YouTube videos you put together. You've got some pretty good creative stuff out there. You know, if people go to your website, calibamboo.com, kind of showing the product going down and people dancing on it and you name it. I mean, it's really, a nod to you guys from a marketing perspective. It's really well done. But the product itself is really good stuff. Now, one of the other things you guys are doing along with the quality is you're getting some retail partners, of which I'm very familiar with the folks at Ace Hardware. They're becoming a retail partner for you guys.
Yeah, it's a great situation for Ace because we're helping to get them into the flooring business more, which is, again, a fast-growing market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly the type of home project somebody might want to do on a weekend. Say, gee, I want to rip out some old carpet in my home or rip out some, you know, old vinyl or tile and put some waterproof flooring basically down in a weekend. And it's very easy to do. So what's nice about our deal with Ace, too, is a customer can actually have the product delivered directly to their home.
That's
so
awesome.
So if they don't want to have to, you know, rent a truck or, you know, get people to help them move it from the store or depot or something, they can just have it go right to their home and start putting it in.
Right. Well, I know that your website is the best place to learn about the product, to see all the different product that's available through you, and then you can certainly decide, you know, where you buy it and where you see it. You are not the cheapest one on the market, which I like. It's a really good value proposition flooring, so you're kind of in the middle of the road, but it's really, really good stuff. You know, I'll caution people that when it comes to flooring, and this is just my personal opinion, you get what you pay for. If you're going to go buy a 99 cent, if you're looking for 99 cents a square foot, don't go to CaliBamboo.com. And really, you know, I joke about this, but, you know, that flooring, just, it's not worth it. Yeah, you can find those at flooring stores, but you need to spend a little bit more. I've had the chance to touch and look and see this product, and it's really good stuff. Tom, give our audience a place to go find information on your company.
Yeah, so really the best place is the website, so calibamboo.com. And, yeah, you'll find anywhere from installation tips to just understanding the products better to even how to choose between the types of different flooring for your environment.
That's awesome. Tom Hume is the Vice President of Marketing. Hey, whoever hired you for that role, they did a good job. Tom, thanks so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Hi, we're the Sons Manfredini, Max
and Quinn.
Now back to the big guy, our dad, Lou Manfredini, and House Marks Radio. He said,
walk like a man. Thank you, boys. Walk like a
312-981-7200. Gary is in Roselle. Hi, Gary. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Here in Roselle, of course, I wish the Chicago weather would change. But it's as you know, we're going into winter. I have a room addition in the back of my house. And on three sides, it's all almost all windows, right? We've got the insulated knee wall and then windows. They're Marvin Renew. They were installed, you know, all properly and everything. But still, you know, when it's zero and the wind's blowing at 40 miles an hour, the room is really, really cold. And I'd like to put some storm windows on the outside. You know, the windows came with screens, and I'm looking to be able to have storm windows made that are similar to the screen frame. I guess they would call that, what is that, a universal C-sash or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, when I call and research storm windows, you know, all the companies want to sell you their triple tracks or whatever. They don't call them triple tracks anymore, but, you know, the full frame storm windows.
You want to have a giant piece of glass, tempered glass, put over there and then cover over the top of that.
Absolutely, yeah, because that'll stop the wind. Glass or even polycarbonate, you know, to make them a little bit lighter because they're, the panels would be roughly 59 or 60 by 36, so they're pretty
And how
big.
Many how many windows do you have?
11.
Okay. What do you think that's going to cost you?
Per
window.
Could be a grand per window. I don't know, maybe it could be
I bet it's easily 200.
Maybe,
I bet it's easily
maybe it's $200.
$200 a window.
Yeah, so, it could be $200, right? Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. When the wind is blowing, it's not that the windows are drafty. It's just that they're losing all this heat, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. For the same $2,400, I think what you should do is install a split system, heating and cooling system in that room.
Got one. Fujitsu.
And it's not enough?
No.
Really?
Plus I have a little space heater as well. Yeah, I'm telling you,
So that Fujitsu is the only thing that heats that space?
Plus a little, you know, when it's really cold, I have a little space heater in there sitting in the corner.
Okay. How about
that's like a hairdryer? Yeah.
Right. Okay, so could you put another cassette in somewhere?
No, the room's not that big. It's 14 by 14.
Here's my only point with this, Gary.
Yeah.
I just don't know that you're going to gain anything by putting that on.
Okay.
And here's what I'll tell you. If you want to test that theory out before you spend all the money, and this will be, put some plastic up over on the inside of those windows temporarily. Yeah. It'll look like you know what. But you'll know if that makes any difference. And if it does, then you're like, oh, maybe I should do that. But you wouldn't do polycarbonate because the sun would beat it up and it would fade and it wouldn't be worth the investment. If you did a big piece of glass, it has to be tempered.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to handle to put up over the top of that. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you got to put it on there and it's got to be sealed. And that's problematic. I would... I mean, I'm surprised that Fujitsu's not enough.
Yeah, me too. I did when we put it in, I did a lot of research, you know, and, you know, we had to talk to the Mitsubishi people.
Right.
And everything, and they did the measurements of how much glass there is, how much room. And
so, like, in a day like today, it keeps up, but when it gets really cold, it can't.
Yeah, exactly. The room's not usable at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, get up in the morning at 60 degrees in there. So, you know, right. Well, and we had to learn to use the Fujitsu unit too, right? Because, you know, the temperature setting really is not like a wall thermostat.
No.
Right. It's just basically, you said it's just a number.
Is it on all the time?
Yes, on all the time.
It is. And do you know how many BTUs it is?
It was our biggest unit, I think.
Wow.
And it's the split system where it's what would you call it? It's in the wall. It's in the knee wall. The knee wall's what, 2 feet high or whatever it is. Fits right in there nicely, and then the outside unit just outside.
So this is a wall. In other words, this goes through the wall.
The
cassette is just hanging on the inside of the wall, and then you have a condensing unit on the outside.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. It's just not getting hot enough. That's the one downside because it's a heat exchanger. The downside is it's just not hot enough.
Right, it can't pull enough heat out of the cold air.
You don't have the ability to do a gas line anywhere, do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because you could do a ventless gas heater that you would mount on a wall.
It's amazing that you say that because I had one
right
in here. And I mean, years ago, this building, the room was evolved, right?
So right.
It was a porch, then it was a screen room, then I put storm windows on the outside, then I put in a ventless cast iron stove. That was awesome.
I mean, you could, depending on the setup of it, they have some mm-hmm. that look like a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how you mount it, and if you could get a gas line there, the benefit of a wall unit like that is a gas unit, it's just the temperature that comes off of it is higher. With the split systems, the sizing is important, but the temperature of the hot air is not as robust as it is with a gas unit. And if you, not that you want multiple systems, but to your point mm-hmm. is that hair dryer is doing nothing.
Yeah,
and if you did something with a ventless gas system and you had that on a thermostat, and when it dipped below, so in other words, you use your split system for, 75% of your heating all the time. And then these have their own thermostat on there. And when it gets too cold and it can't keep up, this thing just kicks on.
So it just kicks on
and then you have a smoke detector and a carbon monoxide detector in the room, and then it'll work automatically.
I
have a 20,000 BTU one that I have on an uninsulated back porch that is our screened-in porch, and I put glass, single-pane glass in the winter, and on a 20-degree day, and I don't keep it heated all the time,
mm-hmm.
but if we're going to use that and I fire that thing up within about an hour, I can get that room to 70 degrees.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what our room was before I converted it to year-round, right? And with the same thing with single-pane glass on the outside for the winter that I would hang up there.
That would be a better investment in my mind than doing the glass. And if you did an offset like this with a separate system, I think that would solve your problem in a more permanent basis and be a safer way to keep that space heated. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 8:55 in the morning. We'll be right back.
This is House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
He's a lean, mean, pneumatic machine.
All natural, safe, and effective.
Actually, we run him at 220, 221, to, whatever it takes.
This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Dykstra Home Services. Hey, Joe Brandon, I read something that, after appearing on the Deep Dish Sports Talk podcast, being one of the, featured guests there, that you now are part of your own, you're co-hosting a podcast, or what's going on there?
Yeah, you may have read that. I'm joining Chris Bowden for the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, featured by WGN, where we talk all things and everything's Blackhawks. We do it about, I think it averages out to like 1.5 times a week. It's not after every game, but after most games at home. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. That's a fun extension for you, obviously. I know know that you get to report on the Blackhawks, but to be able to kind of delve in a little bit, that's pretty good. So do you get some interviews and stuff that are done post-game and stuff to be able to use in that podcast?
Yeah, so typically my role when I cover the home games is, head down to the dressing room, get sound from the coaches and the players, and ask whatever questions I find fitting, but then head into the post-game room where Chris Bowden is and play the sound for him on the post-game show, and then after we wrap up all the equipment, we sit down and do the podcast. We talk about the game. We talk about what the players say. We get some questions from fans, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoy working with Chris Bowden. He's quite a guy to learn from and just to chop it up with. He's a very fun guy, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Where do people find that podcast?
You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on WGNRadio.com too. I know we tweet about it. Every time we record a podcast, we tweet it about 3 times a day, so you can follow WGN Sports at Twitter. You can follow Chris, it's at Bowden Tweets, or you can follow me at Joe_Brand1.
Sounds good. Nice job, Joe.
Thanks.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get back to your phone calls right now. This is Milt in Northbrook. Milt, thanks so much for hanging on. How can I help you this morning?
Hi. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
We got a concrete basement, and it was leaking water. And water would leak in around the floor and the walls. So they had a company come in, but they had asbestos tile on the floor. So we had to have a company come in and remove the asbestos tile. And then a company came in and they dug a hole around the walls about 1 foot to 2 feet from the walls, from the wall going out.
Right.
And they dug the concrete and they installed a drain pipe and then went right to the sump pump. The company, they used a soy-based material on the floor. And so we washed the floor and then we washed the floor again several times. And we're putting down a binder that they recommended, the company. And then we're putting down peel and stick tile. You put it down and the tile pulls right back up. Even if we wait and put something heavy on top of the tile just keeps coming right back up. It's not adhering to the concrete floor.
Just where they did the patching or in the entire floor?
The entire floor.
Yeah. So a couple things. Usually that peel and stick tile and that adhesive, you have to make sure that those are designed for below grade application. And so that what you're using with that adhesive is probably not recommended for below grade applications. And so the moisture that could be coming up from the concrete itself just will not allow that adhesive to stick. Now, how many of these tiles have you wasted?
Not quite a box yet.
Okay. All right. And do you have the other boxes you haven't opened up yet?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Take all those back. And what I would do on that floor, do you know about what you spent a square foot for those?
No, not offhand, I don't. No.
Okay. What I would consider doing in something like that is use a luxury vinyl tile. I mean, I just did the interview this morning with the guy from Cali Bamboo. They make a really nice luxury vinyl tile that you click together, and it will just lie on top of that concrete floor. It won't adhere at all, but it will click all together. It's very easy to install, no glue, no adhesive, and here's the best part. It's 100% waterproof.
Oh, so it's like a floating floor then.
Correct. But with the vinyl as opposed to laminate floors, even though they make laminate floors that can go under below grade, laminate floors are more rigid. And so with a vinyl floor, it will take the shape of whatever the flooring is, the subfloor underneath there. So it lies more firmly, in my experience, than the laminate, and it's easier. It's not, in other words, sometimes laminate floors, when you walk on them, you can feel a little separation. This one stays put.
Oh, so it's like a tiny groove that it snaps in.
Correct, and it just lies on top of the floor.
Oh.
Luxury vinyl tile. Good. Why don't you start your search? I just talked about this guy this morning. Cali Bamboo is the name of the company, C-A-L-I, bamboo.com. And you can go to their website and look at the flooring that they have and see if that's something you might want to do. It's many Ace Hardware stores now are starting to carry this, and you can special order it from them. It's a higher quality flooring than a lot of this really inexpensive stuff that you'll buy. And while you don't normally think about Ace for flooring, it's another additive that they're putting out there to try and help you when it comes to maintaining and making your house a better place. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:16 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back. Try and get that cleaned up as best you can, and then carefully take the other four, pop, 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 all four in. And look at you. If you want, I can get you a little side work as a flooring install.
Now back to your host. He's taking your calls right here, right now.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny, right? That's funny.
Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
That's me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Speaking of podcasts, the Lunch with Lou podcast, we just put another one out yesterday. I had the chance to interview and talk with the beautiful Jane Monzuris. We talked a little bit more holiday decorating and learned a little bit about Jane and a little bit about her backstory and how she started. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. So if you're someone that listens to podcasts, if you go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and search Lunch with Lou, you will definitely find it there. We had a really fun time. We did once again record our podcast at City's Edge, which is on Devon Avenue in the Edgebrook area. Really nice family-run sports bar, and we had a really nice lunch, great people, and really a lot of fun. So check it out. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Saki in Lincolnshire. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Love your show.
Thank you. How can I help you? How can I help you?
All right, we have a condo in Lincolnshire, and we have the Nest unit for our heating and air conditioning.
Okay.
And ever since we put it on, every time we change the seasons and change the unit from heating to air conditioning, vice versa, it doesn't allow that to happen for some reason, and we have to call in service, and they have to kind of redo something in the system, not the Nest system, but the actual unit, so then it works for that particular either air conditioning or heating. So every time there's a change, we have to call somebody in. And they told us that the Nest is really not comparable to the system here in the condo. You might have to go to a different thermostat option. So my question is, we love the Nest. Is there another system, thermostat system that we could put in that's comparable that might do the whole thing?
Okay, wait. I've not heard this before. So in other words, you have the Nest, you have it in the summertime. You got it on cooling, and you set the temperature. You can everything works fine. And then if you go to if you hit the button and go to heat,
it won't do anything.
It doesn't.
It won't heat up. Somehow there has to be the wires in the system itself, not the Nest system, but the system itself have to be kind of switched over so the Nest picks up those signals.
Huh. And
that's what we were told.
Okay, and it's a condo, and so you have your own. Is it a forced air furnace? Is it a boiler? Not a boiler. It's a forced air furnace.
Yeah.
And it's in the, like a mechanical room.
Yeah, it's in the unit.
And how old is that unit?
Well, the building is at least 15, 16 years. So okay. I would imagine it's
that age, that old. Which it should be compatible, no problem. It sounds like to me there's a wire missing in the thermostat that is not. That you're missing one wire that come from the furnace to the Nest. And so I think you just need a different heating and cooling person to come out and take a look at it. You said you're in Lincolnshire. So how about you call American Weathermakers, okay? and tell them we spoke. Tell them exactly what you just told me, and I think that they'll come and be able to send one of their trained technicians to come out and run the proper wire. This is just a simple connection issue, and you have someone that's
correct. Either
trying to take advantage of you, or they just don't know how to fix it.
Right, that's what I'm thinking too.
Right.
So, all right.
American Weather Makers, give them a call, and they should be able to help you out, no problem. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll stay on the topic of furnaces. This is Kathy in Chicago. Kathy, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm terrific. What's going on?
Oh, I'm a little nervous. Well, big time. I bought a condo in the northwest suburbs, and I closed November 5th. I'm sorry. I did a walkthrough November 5th, and I turned on the fifth furnace because it was getting cool. So my closing was November 6th, and I go there about a week later, and the stench is unbelievable from cigarette smoking. So I found out through some calls and all last week doing this that a cleaning company was there for about a week. I guess the nicotine was quite heavy with the previous occupant. So washed everything and cleaned everything and used a primer. And then the seller, who I was on good terms with, maybe still, he had the place painted, all new carpeting, new flooring. It looks brand new. So I found out, like I said, the previous occupant was an extremely heavy smoker. I guess there was nicotine all over from what the cleaning restoration company told me. They were very honest with me last week.
Okay.
But now I don't know what to do. I can't move in. I can't sell it. I mean, the stench is, I'm not being fussy, but the stench is unbelievable.
And you own it?
Yes.
And the stench?
It all happened, to me, it all happened when I turned on the furnace.
Okay, so, prior to you turning on the furnace, when you walked in there, you smelled nothing?
Correct.
Okay.
Which was three or four times, you know, individual times before I purchased it. I called up one or two furnace companies, and they don't seem to know what to do either.
Right. Well, I think the very first thing we have to do is we have to get the furnace and all the ductwork cleaned. And do we know if any of that has been done yet?
Yes, on the receipt they sent me, this cleaning company had sent me. They're not a furnace company; they're a cleaning company.
Right.
And the furnace is a Rheem, and it's 23 years old. I mean, I knew walking in that sometimes I would have to replace it.
Right. Right.
What one company did tell me out there that the best thing to do is to take. How can I say it? Just take down the whole furnace, have the whole thing cleaned out, and put back together again. It would be an 8 or 10 hour job.
Right. Well, what I would say is what they need to do is pull the... So in a situation like that, you need a duct cleaning company to come out, clean the ductwork really well, and they'll take the furnace apart and clean that really well, and then you're going to end up using some sort of OMI odor cleaner within the furnace to run it through there. I mean, you can, if we've cleaned the place, we've gotten rid of the nicotine, we've done all the priming, we've done all the, replaced the carpeting and all that kind of stuff, and you say, you know, overall looking at it, it looks good, then the odor is probably sitting in the ductwork. This can be remedied. And I think that, you know, I don't know what kind of financial recourse you have on all this. You know, if there was a home inspector that missed all this, did they not kick on the furnace to check that, to make sure that it works? That should be part of the inspection process and something.
Yeah, it was. She did a great job. It just, this was during the summer. It was, the furnace was only on to make sure, I think, that it worked, you know.
I see. Okay.
You know,
well, I mean, so now we need, you know, you almost need a company to come in that's not a disaster company, but a company that does more of that work to try and really do the cleaning and treating to get it all out of there. And they can clean this ductwork. They can do filtering in there to capture all that smoke and eliminate it so that you can move in.
Can I just say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
The ductwork, I'm told, it's 34 units dispersed in a couple blocks. It's not all together, which I like. But I'm told through the president that it's the craziest thing. I'm on the first floor. So it's PVC. This is their ductwork. It's all below the floor. PVC piping. And that is in...
it's in the concrete.
Surrounded by ductwork, and the ductwork is surrounded by concrete.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
and that's actually pretty easy to... That's pretty easy to clean. And so, and so you can absolutely get a duct cleaning company to come out. You need to find somebody in that area, Kathy, that can clean the ductwork, disinfect the ductwork, and clean the furnace. And, you know, it's, where are you in, is this condo in Chicago?
No, it's Crystal Lake, to be honest with you.
Okay, so we need to find somebody up there. I don't have anybody. Yeah, not all the way up in Crystal Lake. I don't have somebody that goes that far. Maybe American Weathermakers, but they don't do ductwork cleaning anymore, but they can recommend people that they work with. So maybe it's worth a call to them, American Weathermakers, and see if they can suggest someone up there in Crystal Lake that can help you out. That's a bummer, but it can be fixed. And so stay positive on all this, and it will work out. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Kill us.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Tim's in Crown Point, Indiana. Tim, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Situation was this morning after getting out of the shower, went over to the sink, and the vent fan is directly above the sink, and there were some drips of water coming from the vent fan. Now, it's a ranch house. I got up into the attic, and I was... because it's not finished up there, I was able to get only about 10 feet from the vent fan. But it's got about probably 5 feet before it goes out the roof. And from what I could see, everything looked fairly dry there. So I guess my question is, could this just be a condensation problem? Or is this something I need to, you know, get in there and stop using the fan for a while so I can figure out what's going on?
Let me ask you this. When you went up there, first of all, does the pipe, the vent pipe, terminate through the roof, or does it just go up to like a roof, you know, like a mushroom vent?
It goes to a mushroom vent.
And it's just sitting there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's A, number one, the problem. Because if it's windy or it's cold outside, there is not enough concentration from the fan to be able to evacuate the damp air that you're pulling out of the bathroom. And plus,
okay,
the other thing is, does that pipe just come straight up and it's metal? You can see the metal pipe?
Yes.
All right. So that also needs to be... So two things. You need to use Brone makes what they call a roof jack. It's a vent cap that you would have installed by a roofing contractor, or depending on your skill set, you may do it as well. And you're going to put that in under the shingles, and it's going to give you that 4-inch receiver on the end for you to bring that pipe into and then seal it.
Okay.
So now when I'm pumping that fan out and I'm getting all that damp air out of there, it's pumping outside. Sitting in the mushroom vent, that's just a recipe for mildew and mold in your attic. And the other thing you have to do is you have to insulate that metal pipe. Because when it's really cold outside and that hot air is coming in there and it's cold in the attic, that's where you're going to get more water coming down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, the other kind of trick, my trick on this, and you may be able, if you can access this at all, many times it's been my experience that a lot of fans get installed improperly where the fan is there, and coming right off the fan, they'll put an elbow right away. So in a situation like that, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to put a 90 degree and go right up to the roof. And, you know, it was already installed improperly just by the mushroom fan. So
okay.
My trick when I was building was we would run at least a foot or two of horizontal pipe and then angle up with a 45-degree angle so that the air had a chance to push the damp air up and then up, so that if anything dripped back, it would sit horizontally instead of dripping back into the bathroom.
Okay, I see.
And then when you run the fan, you know, typically, obviously, you go in the shower, you turn the fan on, but you want to run that fan a good 10 minutes afterwards to get to evacuate all the moist air in the bathroom.
Right,
and,
okay.
You know, so these are a few things that you should probably inspect to make sure that it's you can reinstall it properly.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Thank you again.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. This is Arland in Northbrook. Arland, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Question for you. I have a Carrier furnace, 95% efficient, 9 years old. The fan started, the motor started making noise about a week ago. I have a company that I have a service maintenance contract with. They said that the motor has to be replaced, but they will not replace it until it breaks, which sort of defeats the purpose they have in the contract. But I'm wondering if there's something that I can do for this noise, maybe take a baby sledge to the side of it or whatever. It works on my laptop. So
it works anyway, on my laptop. That's funny. So it's just squealing all the time?
Well, it makes a rumbling noise like a plane is taking off. So it's so I don't know if there's, I mean, the filters are clean and changed, in a timely fashion. So I don't know if it's just the motor's going out after 9 years and it has to be replaced.
Well, I mean, it can be a myriad of things. There could be a lot of dust on the squirrel cage that's causing it to be out of balance. And so, you know, one thing, your filter, is it just a standard, like, you know, 16 by 20 filter with a
4-inch, yeah.
Oh, it's 4-inch.
Yeah, it's a 4-inch filter.
Okay, well, then maybe with that, if you pulled it out with the furnace off, you may be able to, with a flashlight, take a look on the side, and you should see the side of the blower motor there. And you could take a look to see if you notice that there's a lot of dirt and debris on the blades of the fan. And if that's the case, with the blower off, you could take a tube brush and just brush off each one of those fins. You know, I mean, you have a service contract, so I don't know how much work you want to do here. And in other words, your service contract with them, if the motor goes, they're gonna do it all and you pay a deductible?
No, it's no deductible. It's a flat fee. I've paid for a 5-year contract, and parts and labor are included, preventive maintenance is included, but they will not replace a part until it's broken.
But the sound, and they did they come out and look at it?
Yeah, they sure did.
And what did they say? They didn't try and adjust it or do anything like that?
No, when they came out, the PM person came out and said, you got a noise, and I could have told them there as well. I have an ear hearing, but another person came out and said that, yeah, your motor needs to be replaced. I mean, that's all they said, but they didn't look and take out the filter or do anything you just said about dust on the fins, etc.
Okay, and then...
Which I can do.
So, in other words, that if this thing breaks on a February night when it's freezing cold, your service contract covers all of that, and they're going to send somebody at 2 in the morning to do all this?
I don't know about 2 in the morning, but my concern is that they say, yeah, we'll replace it tomorrow morning, but, oh, we're out of it on stock. We'll get it back to you in May.
Right.
Which really doesn't work too well.
Right. Well, I think that, I mean, you know, again, I don't have the service contract in front of me, but if you had two separate people, including the company you're paying to do this work, I mean, I think it's reasonable to go back to them and say, look, obviously we're all in agreement that this motor needs to be replaced. And so why wouldn't we be proactive and go ahead and replace it in November or now December, as opposed to waiting for the thing to break in January? And then you exactly what you just said, you know, you have a service contract. This is what it is. And if we all say the motor needs to be replaced, then it is broken. Right. While it still may be running.
Right.
Right. If I break my leg, but I still walk on it, I can still walk, but my leg is still broken.
Right. I mean, I've come up with that logic as well.
And they don't want to do it. Well, then. So then the other thing you do is cancel your service contract and go with somebody else.
OK.
I mean, at this point, if they're going to be so unreasonable that they're not even going to, you know, I mean, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever, if they've already acknowledged the fact that it needs to be replaced. Thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
And now back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Carmen. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Joe Brand is going to do a little half an hour sports preview before the Northwestern game, so stay tuned for that after the 10 o'clock news. This is Sonia in Winfield. Hi, Sonia. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Wow, I'm so thankful I got through to you.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did as well. How can I help you?
Well, last night I was letting my dog out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I noticed that my air conditioner was running. The motor outside, the fan.
Right.
And so I don't know why it was running. And I went inside and I looked to make sure it's on heat, that a ghost didn't move it to air conditioner mode. And I turned off the heat, went back outside. It was still going, moving, running. And so I waited another 15 minutes, still running. So then I thought, well, why don't I turn it to air conditioner mode and then turn it off? And it finally stops, so now I have it back on heat. But I'm wondering, how could that be running when I have it on the heat?
Now, do you know if your system is what they call a hybrid system? Do you know what's the brand name of the system that you have?
Frigidaire.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm running, trying not to run downstairs, but I'm running to look.
What does it say there?
It says Frigidaire, heating and cooling products.
Okay. And it doesn't say, because there some furnaces are what they call a hybrid heat, where it's a combination between a heat pump and a gas furnace based on the temperature outside. And so some systems use the condensing unit outside to provide heat. How long have you lived in this home?
20 years. It's okay. Probably 19 years old.
And you've never noticed this?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then my guess is there's some kind of scent. Do you get this thing serviced on a regular basis?
I'm getting it serviced for cleaning next Thursday.
Okay.
But I thought, should I be worried about any kind of hazard or anything right now?
No. I mean, the only downside is that you're using a little bit more electricity than you should be. And my guess is there's some sensor on the system that's not working. Now, the service person that's coming out, I would give them a heads up about what this is, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-year-old system probably is not hybrid heat, but, you know, maybe it is. I don't know. It could be. But I would just let them know that, and I'm sure it can be fixed.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. I really appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and I guess it's time for... Who's last call? Thanks, Ben, for producing. He's been working all night long, so he's ready to take a nap. Joe, for doing the sports, and Don Kleppen, nice to have you here as well. And Bob Ferguson, of course, for pushing all the buttons and keeping us on the air. And to you, the listeners, thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate it. This is Jackie in Muskegon, Michigan. Hi, Jackie. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. I'm glad to be on.
How can I help you, dear?
I have a question. It seems that we have a woodpecker that likes the cedar trim on our house. We have cedar trim around the windows and on the corners of this structure.
Okay.
And we've tried putting an owl. People say you put an owl, you know, a plastic owl out. Mm-hmm. And we've moved the owl from front to back to side, and it doesn't seem to deter the woodpecker. Is there something that can be put on the cedar, a spray or something that would
now,
deter
when,
them?
When you when you put the owl out there, do you stand behind it and go hoo hoo hoo? Do you do that at all? Because that might help.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
Well, I don't know if you're supposed to be doing it, but I'd love to see the video. here's what I would do is there's a little trick you can do on the areas where this woodpecker is a problem. I want you to buy a few small, thin exterior nails, like galvanized nails.
And over galvanized nails?
Right, small ones, very thin. And tack them up in the areas in a couple spots where the woodpecker's coming in, and then take some fishing line, twist it around the nails, and kind of create a little, almost like a webbing. But I need the fishing line to be away from the wall. Meaning that, you know, you're going to get like a 2-inch nail, and you're just going to tap it in a little bit, you know, on the edge of the cedar, and you're going to tie the fishing line. And the whole idea is that you actually, when you're done, probably won't even see the fishing line.
Correct.
But the woodpecker will, and they won't want to get tied up into the, like the webbing, like they're going to get caught there. And if you put it in the spots where they're, you know, problematic, eventually they're going to be like, this is a pain in the neck. Why would I do this? I'm going to go to somebody else's house and do over there. The birds and rodents are creatures of habit. Once they find a spot, they keep coming back. If you make that experience for them not as pleasant, they will choose to go somewhere else.
Well, I certainly will try it, and I thank you so much for the help.
Now, in the meantime, if you make the owl sound, it might help.
Okay, I'll do that, too.
Just trying to, you know, help you out in any way that I possibly can, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie. I really appreciate that. Real quick, too, before we have to go, you can... Ben was telling me, you know, we do podcast this show. He posts the podcast. So if you have friends or you didn't get to hear all of it or something that you heard in the show, you can go to WGNradio.com, and this show is up there, right? And you take the commercials out of it, right?
Yep.
And
commercials are out.
Commercials are out, and you can listen.
Get the good stuff.
You get the good stuff, exactly. Well, I like the commercials, though. That was my whole thing. Now, you know, when you listen to the radio show on line or on the smart devices, now we stream everything. I always didn't like hearing, you know, not that I have anything against Progressive, but you would hear like 1,000 Progressive commercials in row. And I still have State Farm anyway, but now you hear the whole thing, and I always like hearing the ads. So anyway, you can check it all out if you didn't get through, and remember, go to any place you find podcasts and listen for Lunch with Lou. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. WGN Radio News is coming up after this commercial break. Have a great weekend, everybody.